Hey, let me give you the guidelines. You don't have to believe the ideas. You don't have to welcome the ideas. Some of the ideas you may find hard to believe and startling. But if you use it, you'll see that it works. So I'm going to go to page 20 in the teacher's manual. It's called It's Healing Certain. And I'm going to read through the entire section first. And then we'll come back and see if we can remember it. Healing is always certain. It is impossible to let illusions be brought to truth and keep the illusions. Truth demonstrates illusions have no value. The teacher of God has seen the correction of his errors in the mind of the patient or the other person, recognizing it for what it is. In other words, having accepted the atonement for himself, the teacher of God has also accepted atonement for the patient. Yet what if the patient uses sickness or unhappiness as a way of life, believing healing is the way to death? When a person uses sickness and unhappiness as a way of life, a sudden healing might precipitate intense depression. A sudden healing may precipitate a sense of loss so deep that the patient or person might even try to destroy themselves, having nothing to live for, since they live for their misery. They may ask for death. Healing must wait for that person's protection. Healing will always stand aside when healing would be seen as threat. The instant healing is welcome, healing is there. Where healing has been given, healing will be received. And what is time before the gifts of God? We have referred many times in the text to the storehouse of treasures laid up equally for the giver and receiver of God's gifts. Not one gift of love or God is lost. For the gifts of God, they can but increase. No teacher of God, no demonstrator of love should feel disappointed if he has offered healing and it does not appear to have been received. It is not up to you to judge when your gift should be accepted. Let you be certain that your gift has been received and trust that your gift will be accepted when your gift is recognized as a blessing and not a curse. It is not the function of God's teachers, it is not your function to evaluate the outcome of your gifts. It is merely your function to give them. But once you've given the gift of love, the gift of truth, the gift of peace, you have done, the once you have done that, you have also given the outcome. For the outcome is part of the gift. No one can give if he is concerned with the result of giving. Being concerned with the result of giving is a limitation on the giving itself. And when you're concerned with the result of the giving, neither the giver nor the receiver would have the gift. That means trust is an essential part of giving. Trust is an essential part of giving. Trust is an essential part of giving. In fact, trust is the part that makes sharing possible. Trust is the part that guarantees the giver will not lose, but only gain. Who gives a gift and then remains with the gift to be sure the gift is used as the giver deems appropriate? If you give a gift and remain with the gift to make sure that it's used, such is not giving, but imprisoning. It is the relinquishing of all concern about the gift that makes the gift truly given. And it is trust that makes true giving possible. Healing is the change of mind that the Holy Spirit in the patient's mind is seeking for the patient. And it is the Holy Spirit, the higher self, in the mind of the giver who gives the gift to the patient. How can the gift be lost? How can the gift be ineffectual? How can the gift be wasted? If it's God giving the gift to God, God's treasure house can never be empty. And if one gift is missing, God's treasure house, it would not be full. Yet is its fullness guaranteed by God. What concern then can you, a teacher of God, have about what becomes of your gifts? Given by God to God, given by God to God, who in this holy exchange can receive less than everything? This is a perfect lesson for Christmas. Mm-hmm. It couldn't be, you know, it's like just the timing was perfect. Now, the Course defines healing as the undoing of fear, and the healing as love. And this question is healing certain? And the Course says, let's go back through it. It says, healing is always certain. There is no way you can let your illusions, which are your false ideas of fear, be brought to the truth and then keep the illusion. In other words, it's no way that you can practice the truth and still keep the fear. It's no way you can be practicing the truth and keep the illusion. If you recognize the truth, then the false has no value. If I recognize love, then fear has no value. If I recognize peace, then conflict has no value. That idea that you can be in conflict, yet you're recognizing the truth, is an illusion. So, the Course says, the teacher of God has seen the correction of his errors in the mind of the patient, recognizing it for what it is. In other words, if you accept the atonement for yourself, if you accept the truth for yourself, you've already accepted it for everybody else. Let me give you an example. If the truth is I'm innocent, and the truth is I'm a spiritual being, and the truth is that I create my reality, if the truth is I'm responsible for what I see, I'm responsible for my feelings, if the truth is I'm the one that's responsible, I'm choosing my feelings, I'm deciding what I choose to be and do, if that's the truth, then it's true for all of you all too. So therefore, when I accept the truth for myself, I'm accepting it for everybody. If I'm not a victim, you're not a victim. If I'm innocent, you're innocent. If I deserve